Transition Radio from San Diego, exploring the world of change with you. Are you ready to take your life to a new level? Join transition coaches and best-selling authors Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster as they explore strategies to navigate changes in health, relationships, money, career, and so much more. Get the information and tools to make your life smoother, easier, and more productive. And now, your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
And welcome to Transition Radio. We are so happy to have you here with us in the middle of summer. And we hope that your summers have just been amazing. Fun with families, going camping, doing the outdoor stuff that we all get to do when the weather's good and it's not cold. So, Ken, how's your summer been so far?
You know, my summer has been so amazing. As you know, I've been training for this triathlon up in August.
When do you actually go?
I go August the 17th. I'm going up to Penticton, British Columbia, where they're hosting the USA Triathlon World Championship. And so I'm competing with people in my age group, and there'll be about 4,000 athletes from all over the world coming in. It's the largest event outside the Olympics, I'm told. So it should be a lot of fun. It's been a lot of work. So that's been my summer. Trying to stay injury free and healthy. How about yours? How's your summer been?
Actually, my summer has just been lovely. I just had a fabulous week in Silver Lake, our favorite family vacation place at the Silver Lake Resort. And for the first time in I don't know how many years, both my son and my daughter were able to go with me. It was really, really. And they're at an age now they get along. I don't have to spend all my time trying to split them up, you know, or make peace between them. So it was great fun. It's a really lovely getaway place.
Well, you know, a lot of folks are on vacation and taking time off. And, you know, there's some transition that takes place, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Either from vacation back to work or vacation back to school, vacation back to whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's a topic that a lot of times people have challenges with.
It's true. I mean, it is a time of transitions, even though we don't necessarily think of the middle of August as a time of transitions, but it is in that, like you say, I can't tell you how many of my clients and friends I've had are looking at, well, not exactly an empty nest, but a kind of empty nest because one of their children is going to college for the first time. And so they're shopping for the comforter and all the stuff you need in the room, you know, your bedding and all of that. And in the meantime, your heart is kind of breaking.
Right.
You know, you're releasing your first baby from home. And that's a huge transition. It's a huge transition for women.
And so what are a couple tips you can give them to go through that transition really quickly, easily?
You know, that's a great question, Ken, because it's actually a grief experience because there's loss involved, right? You know, loss of the way life has been, loss of the familiar, and loss of that feeling like you're really right there with your child and you can oversee their safety.
Right.
So I would say one of the most important things is express your feelings. You know, like suck the juice out of every moment you have with your child now. Let them know how much you love them, how precious this time has been with them. That your heart is, be honest that it is difficult to contemplate them being so far away. And, you know, I think having honest dialogue helps both sides because your child is feeling some angst too, no doubt, even if they're really excited about going away to college.
I love that. You know, the other tip I'd like to give is to focus on the good. You know, it sounds kind of trite, but honestly, a lot of times we're focusing on what's wrong, all right? They're going to school. Oh, I'm going to miss them. This is going to be bad for us. I can't. You know, we focus on the goodness that's in it.
Right.
And a lot of times when we do that, what happens, of course, you know, the mind is over our emotions, right? So if we're focusing on what's good, we start to feel good inside, right?
Right. So. Exactly. You know, I read an interesting thing lately, though, and I think this is of interest to our listeners and to you and I, because both working with people, counseling, coaching them, helping them to change their lives, we're always up against this thing that people tend to think negatively more than they think positively, right? And the reason that is it's actually hardwired into our brains because long ago, in primitive times when life was pretty dangerous, it was more helpful to think about what could go wrong and be proactive and protective than it was to just have a la-la-la attitude.
Interesting.
It actually could mean you stayed alive and your family.
Actually, mine was hardwired by my family, who were all critical thinkers. They were very critical thinkers, which is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
But if that's all you do is look for what's wrong and look for what could go wrong,
yes,
you're missing about three quarters of your life.
Absolutely. And especially today, because obviously there are dangers, you know, at every time in life, but there's also so much good and so much to be grateful for. And I completely agree with you. I think, you know, we create a vibration by what we think.
Right.
And we emit that vibration like little radio stations walking around out in the world. And in a world, in a universe of electromagnetic energy, one of the laws is like attracts like.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to receive positive experience, you have to put out a positive vibration. And usually that comes from positive thinking, positive speaking, positive actions.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's huge.
I wonder where that ties in, like attracts light with the, because I've noticed that a lot of times opposites attract, right?
That's true.
Isn't that true?
That is true.
You know, somebody's really giving and somebody's a taker.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's mean and the other one's really kind and generous.
Yes.
You know, you seem to see that in relationship a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I asked a teacher that question once. Mm-hmm. And actually what he said to me was, but they're attracting a likeness in their extreme behavior.
And their extreme behavior. You're exactly right. Exactly right. So a lot of times I think the takers get a giver because the giver needs to learn boundaries, mm-hmm. and needs to learn how to step up. And the taker needs to learn how to give.
Yes.
So if they model each other's positive traits, again, back to look what's good in that mm-hmm. person that you can model, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Things transform. I know that's happened in a lot of my life, probably in yours.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, they also say that, you know, you can only see the world from the perspective. If we're all in a circle, let's say I'm at the bottom of the circle looking up and you're at the top of the circle looking down, we tend to attract somebody on the other side of the circle so that we can experience the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that, just like you're saying, it helps mm-hmm. us stretch mm-hmm. to experience differently, think differently, and grow more.
Well, you know, I love this theme about, you know, these transitions in, you know, from summertime back into the workplace, right? Because a lot of times I think we don't look forward to going back to school. We mm-hmm. don't look forward to going back to work. We
right.
don't look forward to, you know, meeting a new relationship or getting into a new. People have a mindset that it's going to be hard. It's going to mm-hmm. be difficult. And if we can turn that around to a thinking of, this is going to be exciting. This is going to be something new.
Right.
I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be even better than I am today because I might have to go through some tough times. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, steel, you know, sharpens steel, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's a beautiful perspective. And it certainly, you know, we got to do it anyway, right? I mean, you got to go back to work and you got to go to school and those things are coming. So why not face them with a more positive outlook?
Yeah.
And then chances are that it actually will turn out much more positively.
You know, I've sure found in my life, in all the people's lives that I coach, to mm-hmm. really have a positive outlook. You know, at first, a lot of times are resistant. People are resistant to having a positive outlook. They're
mm-hmm.
thinking, well, you know, they're going to go through life and looking for everything positive that they're going to miss. You know, bad's going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
But when I can convince somebody to really start looking for the joy in their life, looking what's good in their life,
mm-hmm.
looking what is something that's going to inspire you and help you grow and be more magnificent in your own being, right,
mm-hmm.
in your own
mm-hmm.
self, life changes for individuals very quickly.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It
Haven't
does.
You noticed that same thing? Because I know we
Absolutely.
Do the same thing in our coaching and our mentoring.
And, you know, because I come at everything from that energy psychology perspective, I'm always right. looking at the energetic vibration. And again, when you are in gratitude's a very high vibration. When you're in joy, that's a really high vibration. And it just feels better, doesn't it? I mean, you know, I just notice when I'm feeling what I have to be grateful for rather than what's missing.
Right.
I just feel better, and I'm certainly a lot more fun to be around when I'm like that too, you know?
Well, I think we all are. You know, it's very interesting. You ever woke up in the morning and you feel like, ugh, you didn't even sleep the night before, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe get out of bed that way. Mm-hmm. And you're wondering, why is that? How come the day before I woke up feeling great, a lot of energy?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's probably a lot of reasons for different people. But the truth is that, you know, I found that no matter how I wake up, because we're talking about that gratitude, as soon as I can go to gratitude, as soon as I can start maybe take a glass of water and move around a little bit, mm-hmm. I can start to feel that flowing in me, this energy, this energetic field flowing in me. That and I know we can't see it, taste it, touch it, feel it,
right.
But it's there. We all have experienced that.
Yes.
And all of a sudden things shift for us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, remember a few weeks ago, Mark Waldman taught us, and he's coming up on our show again, which is exciting.
That's right. He's going to be here in September.
Yes.
Yeah.
He taught us that your mind, your brain can shift in as little as 60 seconds just by yawning and just by focusing on in a certain way. So that's just neuroscience, and it's exciting that neuroscience is teaching us that those things that you just described, moving your body, taking some water, being grateful, actually causes chemical shifts in the brain, and then you feel better.
It does, and I tell you what, somebody taught me years ago, you know, watch cats and dogs and everything else get up, right? Just mm-hmm. watch nature. And, you know, and they stretch, and they yawn.
Right, and they shake
and
it off.
And they shake it
right?
off.
Shake off anything.
And then all of a sudden, they're ready to go. Try it in the morning. It's so much
true.
Fun to sit in bed a little bit and yawn and stretch and really just get yourself energetically ready
yes,
to go.
Yes. Yeah. And it feels luxurious.
It
to
does.
Take that little minute to stretch and yawn makes you feel like you know, you're sleeping in, you've got the world by the tail.
It does. Yeah. The other thing I do is I do some energization exercises. We can talk about that on another segment,
yes,
but
yes.
how I energize everything from my head to my toes, consciously bringing in the energy so
Ooh,
that
beautiful.
The body is ready to rock and the mind is open and alert and alive. So, well, listen, that's it for our little segment. So we'll be right back.
All right. Can't wait.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster. Would you like to help someone in need to move from poverty to prosperity? Stars of Courage, a 501c3 nonprofit, is looking for established life coaches with experience in education and career mentorship to build confidence and create clear paths to success. Join our team of experienced coaches in a wide variety of fields, equipped with warm hearts with a passion for lifting up those in need. Our Stars of Courage. Find out how you can make a difference at starsofcourage.org. That's starsofcourage.org.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
Welcome back to Transition Radio with Ken Foster and Paula Shaw. And today is our summertime cleanup day. We're talking a little bit about cleaning up the clutter in this section.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the clutter in your closets, in your garage,
in your
office. Where else, Paula?
In your life.
In your life.
In your
yeah.
relationships, maybe.
Relationships. Ooh, yeah, lots of ways to clean up the clutter. Well, Paula, I'm going to throw out the first question to you about cleaning up our clutter in our world.
Mm-hmm.
What stops people from cleaning up their clutter?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I think it probably comes down to fear and fear of loss mm-hmm. because we get attached to our stuff and we get attached to the idea, like with clothes, I'm going to wear that. You know, I like it. I haven't worn it in 2 years, mm-hmm. right? It hasn't fit in 3 years, mm-hmm. but I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to wear that at some point in time. So I think the bottom line is we're afraid of the loss. Like I even find sometimes when I let something go, a week later for sure, I think, oh, I'm going to wear that such and such, which I haven't worn in 3 years. But now I'm looking for it and I realize, oh, I gave it to the shelter last week, and now I've got a little mini grief going on.
Right, right. Well, you know, some of our listeners right now don't know that you are a grief counselor. And, you know, I was telling you at lunch that when I lose a pencil, in the past, sometimes I would get upset or I would grieve the pencil, right? So when I'm cleaning up houses and things like that, when we're talking about that, that's how do people feel? I mean, what is the feeling that somebody feels, Paula, when they're going through that?
Well, that's interesting. On the one hand, it could be a cleansing kind of feeling, a letting go, you know, a freedom.
Right.
On the other hand, it can be, you know, really like we were saying, this fear of loss.
Right.
But I think we should ask Joseph.
I want to bring Joseph in. And,
yeah.
And you know, I want to say one last thing before I get Joseph in.
Yeah.
One of the things I've learned in coaching individuals over the last 21 years is that when people make commitments like cleaning up their clutter,
mm-hmm.
and they don't keep those commitments to themselves,
mm.
as you know, Paula, that lowers their sense of self, self-esteem sometimes, right?
That's true.
And the other part is sometimes when we set a goal like cleaning up the house and then we don't accomplish it, then we have negative self-talk going on. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I should have done that. Why didn't I do that? I'm coming home to this. So I just want to throw that out as part of the discussion with Joseph. Joseph is
right.
our sound engineer
here in the studio, and we were talking about his own clutter, and he was being vulnerable today. So Joseph, this topic.
So we dragged him on the mic.
So we dragged him on here, and we're going to talk to you.
You won't be doing that again, will you, Joseph?
No, you know, it's all part of radio. You got to throw yourself out there, and you know, especially if it's for good content.
Yeah. Joseph, tell me about your challenges with clutter in your space.
You know, I think. I think the biggest thing for me is that it's just maybe the fact that I'm living in a smaller space than where I was previously living.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get a lot of that where, you know, I don't know what I need to throw away, or I'm thinking maybe I'll move into a bigger space later on and then I'll have room for these things. But I think a lot of it for me is it's just more of, I guess I'd say anxiety. Where
Ooh, good word.
I'm getting ready to, you know, I'll have a big box of things that I've deemed I don't need and I want to throw away. And then it'll be sitting there for like 3 or 4 more days before I actually bring myself to throw it out.
Mm.
And I'm not sure, you know, where it comes from or what it stems from, but that's
well, actually 3 or 4 days is not that bad.
Right.
You know, we have coached people that are 3 or 4 months or 3 or 4 years
that
are sitting on things like that.
A lifetime.
Yeah, but it, you know, I think that peace, that anxiety, what does that feel like to you?
You know, it's just growing up, we moved around a lot. You know, sometimes twice in a single year. And that was just the nature of my family and the way the dynamic worked. We were moving around a lot. And so it was a lot of, okay, we're here. Oh, we're picking up again. We're going to move again.
Mm.
And so I would lose things along the move, or I would throw something out thinking I didn't need it anymore. And then, like you were saying, you know, 2 weeks later, or even the day after, you're looking for that thing that you threw out, and you sort of are hesitant to throw things away after that.
Right.
And you know, and the subconscious mind learns from every experience. So let's think about this. So the cumulative experiences, every time that happens to us, the subconscious mind goes, ah, I'm going to remember next time not to let it go, because you don't know if you're going to need it in a day or two.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I can relate to that personally. I mean, I've thrown out some of my wife's stuff.
Oh, no.
Oh, you live dangerous.
Yeah,
you
it's dangerous. Right.
And she
you,
will
buddy?
Remind me.
I'll bet. Years
you know,
down
at the same time, you know, we laugh about a lot of it now, because really what it is that she felt uncomfortable. She wasn't ready to let it go, and then I let it go, right?
Right. Mm.
And, you know, it's that anxiety. But, you know, here's the thing. I think it does take courage to let go of things that we don't know what we're going to let go or what we are afraid of. And there's a system I'd like to recommend to Joseph and to others that are out there. It's a 5-point system, and I'm not the originator of it. I don't even know where it came from, but I can tell you this. If you want to clean out your office or your garage or wherever, you get yourself 5 big boxes, right? One is trash. You're going to throw it away.
Right.
One is you're going to, you know, something that you're unsure of, you're going to store it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can mark a date on there from 6 months to a year, but after that, you're going to get rid of it. Another one is you're going to give it away to the Goodwill or a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is you're going to move it to another location, right? So
okay.
Maybe in this room, but you're going to put it all in a box. Mm-hmm. You're going to move it to the next location. So that way you can go with a system, right?
Right, right.
And you can clean it all out real quick. Would something like that work for you, Joseph?
Yeah, I think it would because, as I was saying before we started recording, I'd notice, you know, I'll clean my room fully and then 3 days later it's, you know, it looks like a bomb went off in there. And it's just because I'm always going through things and, you know, grabbing bits and pieces, and then it just ends up, you know, on a table or on my bedside or on the coffee table or somewhere. And being able to actually take it and, you know, break it down like that,
right.
I feel like it would make it a lot easier to utilize.
And, you know, I think that one of the things I've realized over time is if you take that extra second, and sometimes it's only a second or two, to put something back, it just keeps it everything it, so much easier.
Isn't that interesting? Because a lot of times we, you know, that's something I do consistently.
Mm.
I'll take that extra second, which, guess what? My house is really clean. It's immaculate, right?
Right, right.
Most of the time. I mean, I'm not this perfectionist. but I think, Paula, that's a really good point. Another thing I'd like to suggest is this. Sometimes we don't have a system in place of where to put our incoming mail,
mm-hmm.
Or our incoming, even our stuff that we need to trash, or mm-hmm. maybe we have books in one.
Right.
So it's really important to set up a system that you can have every day, Joseph, so that the mail goes here, you know, the trash is over here, new books or new tapes or new ideas mm-hmm. or something is over here. And then maybe it's once a week you say, okay, Fridays are my day to make sure everything is cleaned again.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Yeah, something like that might work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I'll definitely give that a shot. You know, it's sort of because one of my big things is I do a lot of voiceover work. And so I've got voiceover script everywhere, all over the place. And so, you know, I don't really get so much mail, but to, you know, actually
scripts.
Designate a specific point for
right.
scripts
mm-hmm.
and, you know, for
mm-hmm.
books and for, you know, this, that, the other, it could definitely help me put it into order a lot better.
Awesome. Awesome.
And I will say that clearing up the clutter, in summary, both energetically and emotionally and psychologically, is freeing. It allows energy to move better. It makes us feel better, feel more open and free. I mean, it really is a good thing to do.
It is. And there's a piece even on, we didn't discuss the mind side or
mm-hmm.
The mental emotional side, but I'll just mention really quick. You know, sometimes it is important to make a list, to get out pen and paper, write down, what am I afraid of? Okay, I'm afraid of letting this go because my wife's going to yell at me. I'm afraid of letting this go because it costs a lot and I cherish it. I'm afraid my, you know, whatever your fears are, get them out
right,
on
right.
paper, look at them, and then ask yourself, are these realistic fears or is this something I'm just kind of making up?
Or you could do the Mark Waldman technique. Remember he called the crap board? You write down everything that you're worried about, just like you said.
Right.
And then you just look at it for a little bit with focused concentration, not really thinking any one thing or the other. Yawn a little bit, stretch a little bit, and the importance of that goes away.
It goes away, right.
Yeah.
And, you know, last but not least, my tip to you, Joseph, is to set up a goal. Right? Set up a goal that you're going to have this place clean. It's going to stay clean for perpetuity, right?
Right, right.
And I, you know, if you'll set your goals up and, you know, accomplish them on a weekly basis, you're going to get to a place where you go, wow, I feel so good about myself. I kept my commitments. Things are organized in their place. And I've let go of things that I don't love. And last tip, right?
Leanna Shaoli's famous words, it's a closet, not a museum.
Exactly. So if it's been there too long, get rid of it.
Right.
That's
yeah.
good. So we got
a
lot of tips.
Can some of those little tips that you just gave Joseph sound to me like something you might share with one of your clients? And I think a lot of people don't realize that not only are we co-hosts on this radio show, but we also have other work we do. My therapy, your coaching, you're a business strategist, and you also life coach people. So would that, like what you just did with Joseph, is that kind of a little example?
Well,
sort of thing
you know,
you
I have
do?
A lot of business owners that come into my space,
mm-hmm.
and because I'm very good at helping business owners to see what they're not seeing, you know, see the unseeable, mm-hmm. know the unknowable, and do the impossible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we do situations like this because, you know, life coaching comes up, right, if you're a business owner. So if you want to find out a little bit more about my business coaching, you can go to Ken D. Foster, like Donald, KenDFoster.com, And you can see some of my information there, sign up or get a strategy session with me. And Paula, how do they get a hold of you with your grief work? Because I know some people do need to go through that grief work because before they can even let go of anything.
That's true. That's very true. Yes. So if you're dealing with the upheaval of change and challenge, you can find me at paulashaw.com or 626-864-0756.
All righty. And we'll be right back.
Yeah, definitely.
How's that, man? Yeah. Oh, is that awesome. Good? Yeah. All right. Listen to it a couple times. Nice get job, all of, there's a lot coach. Of the tips in there.
That's good. Okay, let's record that.
Okay. And Joseph, thank you so much for being brave enough to just jump in that chair and join us spur of the moment today.
Oh, yeah, no problem at all. Thank you guys for having me on and, you know, advising me. I'll definitely take it to heart and put it to use. And I look forward to reporting back on just how successful it's been.
Well, woo-hoo! We'll be here next week to find out the results. That's and right. The following week.
Escape us now.
All right. Thank you so much, Joseph.
All right, thank you, guys.
All righty. And we'll be right back.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
Baby boomers, are you prepared? In a recent study from Transamerica, 45% of baby boomers are expecting a financial decrease in their standard of living after retirement. If you live into your 90s, you can go without a paycheck for 30 years. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton from Sexton Advisor Group. With almost 20 years in the business, I can answer your retirement questions. Get your complimentary retirement guide by calling 1-800-560-2611. That's 1-800-560-2611. Or go to SextonAdvisorGroup.com. That's S-E-X-T-O-N advisorgroup.com.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
And welcome to Transition Radio. This is Paula Shaw. So glad to be with you today and with my co-host, Ken D. Foster.
Hello, Paula. You're looking bright and sparkly this morning.
Oh, thank you so much. As are you, sir. I know you've already had a swim this morning.
Yeah, swam a couple miles, so ready to rock our show today.
Cool. And we are going to be talking today about making effective choices to really come into your power.
Which is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. You know, I'm a triathlete and competing this year up in Penticton, British Columbia for the World Triathlon event representing USA in my age group. And, you know, coming into your power is really what it's all about, isn't it? You know, we really have to, in my sport, you have to change just about everything to be able to start to compete at a top level. Mm-hmm. And I think we do that in business and in all areas of our life, whether it's our family, our relationships. You know, we have to change things and really come into our power, meaning that we have to kind of tune into ourselves, our, you know, what's working, what's not working, and take it to the next level.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of times people think coming into your power is just about success or about your business growing, you know, but I think there's also another aspect to it, which is coming into your authentic self, really being comfortable with who you are and being able from there to take your message out to the world. And it seems to me that that's a lot of what our guest, Don Allen Rico, has got to say today.
Well, Don's got a lot to say. I'd like to introduce him, actually. Mm-hmm. So Don Allen Rico is the author of 20 books. The book we're going to be talking about today is called Discovering Excellent Health. It's right here in front of me. I know you can't see Don. He's not in studio today, but his book is. And it's life-changing wisdom and personal wellness strategies to improve your health. And I'm part of this book. So Don actually has me on the cover of this thing.
Oh.
How cool is that?
That's very cool.
Yeah, I bet you didn't even know that.
I didn't.
Okay. So let me tell you a little bit more about Don. Don has a passion for sharing new ideas and great information. He is the founder of Saber Mountain Publishing Company. This publishing company also has a sister company called Little Moment Publishing, and which he also publishes little pocket books. Don has published, I don't know how many of the Senator Thain's book up in Idaho, one of my heroes, and also several of my books. So he's spent 21 years with his family in Spain, which is the homeland of his wife. He just returned to America in 2013. And Don, I could go on and on about you. I'll just say one last thing. He's a dedicated husband. He's a father. He's a grandfather to 7 grandchildren, and 3 of which still live in Spain with his older daughter who's still there. So, Don, I'm so happy to have you on our show today. And he's also a personal friend. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ken and Paula. Great to be here.
So, Don, tell us about what caused you to write this book, Discovering Excellent Health. It seems like it's got a lot of amazing messages in it.
Okay. Well, Discovering Excellent Health is just that. I think a lot of times, you know, we have individuals, they want to have better health, but there's so much stuff that goes around, you know, do this or do that, it becomes confusing sometimes. Mm-hmm. So when we discover, you know, to discover excellent health, it's to find those things that actually, actually work. And when I was in Spain, that was kind of one of the things that I did was I was the dedicated person to take my father-in-law to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just going to the doctor and you would go to the different doctor appointments and you'd hear the one and hear the other. And sometimes it could get confusing because they prescribe one thing and it's the same, you know, coming back here, I go with my mom as well now. And it's confusing to know what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm. It's confusing at any age, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And that was kind of, you know, some of the things that you had Senator Thain there not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And so with some of the, you know, and like I say, I've known Ken for probably going on 14, 15 years now. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we talk about health and we talk about the, you know, how health is and what it is to do, what it is to be healthy. And so in the book, what we've done is we've looked at it as an overall. And I think sometimes, you know, health itself becomes siloed. In other words, this specialty doctor does this thing and that specialty doctor does that thing. Mm-hmm. And it all becomes disjointed. And so Discovering Excellent Health is trying to bring it all back together in one.
But one of the things I like about the book is, you, like you just said, you cover a lot of different areas. You cover the healthy mind, the attitude, listening to your own inner voice. We talk about, you got some healers in here talking about positive healing. Yeah, on and on this goes, you know, staying active beyond 70. I love that topic. I think I need to read up on that because it's coming up on me here. So, yeah. So, Don, I love that. So why the general topics here? Why did you want to do the overview?
Well, like I say, one of the things that I try to do that is to bring it all together, you know, to bring things out, because I think, you know, a lot of times our focus gets distracted to maybe just one thing, and we forget about all the other things, you know, like you say, that the healthy mind, that's sometimes, you know, if everything is going okay, well, we forget about other things. And so it's only those things that seem to cause us problems that, you know, that we turn our focus on. And so this brings out spiritual health, physical health, relationship health, mental, emotional health, and financial health, you know, all of which have an impact on our overall health. And that's what we talk about is, you know, just simply discovering excellent health. And so
you talk about this book as being a disruptor, Don. Can you talk about that a little bit? What's a disruptor?
Well, like I mentioned, is that health seems to be siloed. In other words, it's put into departments or processes and operations. You know, they operate isolated from other things. Senator Thane, you know, his topic is about, you know, bringing health care to all people, you know, and those, you know, as we separate everything and, you know, put it in its own silo, what happens is that a lot of times we forget about how it relates with each other. Mm-hmm. And so, what I hope with, DEH or Discovering Excellent Health is it can be a catalyst at a minimum, and it will cause the general population to look at health as an integral concept. You know, it's not going to be about going to the doctor and getting a drug prescribed for a certain treatment, but it's about everything. You know, it's about every aspect of our health and how that affects us. You know, relationships, how our money affects us, and Ken knows a lot about that. He talks about it. Mm-hmm. But those are all things that need to be brought in and brought together. So it's more about bringing in it all together, everything together. And that the hope is to disrupt our silos and bring things together.
So what I'm hearing you say is you want to disrupt mainstream thought about how things are currently being done in the healthcare industry and provide more humanistic, I guess, more of an...
Kind of holistic.
Holistic, that's
like.
The word. Yeah,
holistic approach
to it. Is that right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think the reason being is because the fact that, you know, I mean, I do talk with Senator Thane, I do talk with Ken, I do talk with individuals, and that you know, individuals who have that mindset, the holistic mindset, mm-hmm. and it really needs to be brought to that, I think. And so,
because I think what you say in the book too, Don, is that there's a part where when a person goes to a doctor, the doctor doesn't necessarily know how you're doing spiritually or relationship-wise or mentally or emotionally or even financially. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And this is addressed in the book. Is this correct?
Exactly. Or does he even think to ask?
Or care.
An example comes from one of the doctors that are in the book who talks about feet. And he himself, he says, you know, the doctor goes, he looks in your eyes, looks in your ears, looks in your mouth, checks your heart, checks your lungs, checks your reflexes, but he never looks at your feet. Mm. And he says, and the feet are part of the body.
Right.
Well, in that same spirit, the soul is part of the body. The relationships have something to do with it. Your spirituality has something to do with it. It all has an effect on our overall health. And if a person is too busy or a doctor is too busy to only, you know, get to the root cause and treat one thing, get the next person in, there is no time to figure that out, and there is no time to figure how that affects it. You find that throughout the book is that people that have had cancer, a story about they're in cancer and how you know, the doctors didn't look at the person themselves and what they and how they felt about things.
And we know from people who actually survive it, you know, among other diseases, that the holistic life, the whole picture is so important. And I Don, there is so much more we could talk to you about, and unfortunately we're out of time, but I want to say, I said this to Senator Thane, it just lights me up to know that people like you are out there trying to create a better healthcare system for all of us. And I can't stress to our listeners enough, get a hold of a copy of Discovering Excellent
Health. And where can they get a copy of that, Don?
DiscoveringExcellentHealth.com.
Okay, let's say that again. DiscoveringExcellentHealth.com. That's great. And on that website, there's a link to the book?
Yeah, there is, right on the front page.
Okay.
And also has the list of the authors, like you, Ken.
Yep, I'm in there.
Is it also available on Amazon?
For other reasons, it is not.
Okay. No problem. That's
in the publishing realm. I want to be a disruptor in all kinds of things.
Oh, good. Okay, well, we'll talk about that the next time you're on our show. Thank you so much, Don. It was great having you on. And we'll be right back.
We'll be back with Transition Radio and your hosts, Paula Shaw and Candy Foster.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
We're back with Transition Radio, exploring the world of change. And now, here's your hosts, Paula Shaw and Ken D. Foster.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. And now we have one of my favorite segments, our Smart Money segment with our Smart Money man and sponsor, Steve Sexton of the Sexton Advisory Group.
Welcome, Steve.
Great well, thanks, to have guys. You on the show again. I'm very happy to be here. We have a fun topic today.
I know. Well, you know, we were just talking with the amazing Kelly Bagla and Rachel Jane Groovers talked today about presence, and we've had a lot of discussion about family, presence, businesses, protecting ourselves. But you know what I always wonder about, Steve, because I've heard the nightmares, and sometimes these families end up in my office asking for help with trying to resolve issues. But even when people have things laid out legally, sometimes it seems that family feuds, so to speak, evolve over the way things were written out in the will or the trust or whatever it was. Have you encountered that kind of thing? And if you have, what do you do?
Well, you know what? The best thing to talk about is kind of my situation or my family situation.
Oh, cool.
I'm one of five kids.
Mm-hmm.
I have a younger brother who married a wonderful woman. And basically, she's the type that likes to control. Okay. And you know what? Before my dad just retired, he was like 53, 54. And they wanted to borrow a bunch of money to buy a home. And the only money my dad had was in an IRA. So he's going to have to pay taxes and a penalty on top of that. And that created some of that. And she liked to control the environment. And it became more of a backhanded compliment world.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where at one point in time, they told my folks not to visit and can't see your grandkids because of this, this, and this.
Oh, my goodness.
Was
that all over money? Or
No, more family dynamics.
Family dynamics.
And
okay.
But at the... At the same time, you know what? She felt entitled, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? There's other things that go along with that. And I think it's one of those things where at times my mom was saying, you know what? If, you know, dad passes away first, they're out of the will, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen that. I've actually been in meetings where I did a whole family meeting and everybody's kumbaya and telling everything. And actually one family, 3 weeks later, mom and dad were killed by a drunk driver.
Oh,
one of the kids called me 30 minutes after he found out, or after I had found out that they had passed away, because I got the call from CHP because my card was in their car.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to know when he's getting his money. And this was the kid that preyed on the other kids. I mean, preyed on them, took from mom and dad, and felt was entitled to a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he owed a bunch of money, needed a bunch of money compared to everybody else. And when it came down to having everybody in my office, I basically, they went, you know, two of the brothers went right at it right there, right in front of my office. I mean, it was a fight. And the next time I had him in, I had to have a security guard there. So I've seen that. I've seen people think they're entitled to more, so they go challenge the trust, mm-hmm. and they try to break that veil of the trust so they can get more money.
And, you know, I've heard of a situation where the new wife, right, the husband divorced the original wife and the children. Well, you don't divorce your children, but you know what I mean. Married again. Then when he died, he left a bunch to the second wife, and the children, the original children, challenged all that and were able to take it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we should have Kelly in on this, too, but how does that happen? How do you get away with that?
Well, basically, part of that's the structure of a trust and the way Dad had it structured. I'm dealing with a case with an attorney right now where the father passed away 12 years ago. One of the co-trustees is a drug addict and a gang member and threatened to kill his sister if she tried to sell the property that he was living in. For the last 12 years, he's received rents and never paid taxes. And on top of that, she's never received anything. And he passed away a year ago. And on his deathbed, he married his girlfriend. And she is now making a contestment towards that. Now, the attorney's been done a good job in enabling to kick her out because there's no distributions made, which means she's not entitled to it. So I've seen things like that. I've heard of, we have a very good friend in Don, who knows a lady that was married to a gentleman in Rancho Santa Fe for almost 30 years. And when he passed, the kid says, you know what? You know, you've been a great mom or a wife to my dad and everything, but, you know, we'd like you out by the end of the month because all his assets circumvented her, and it was structured that way. Okay, so some of those things are structured. Some of those things are not. The big thing is to make sure somebody has a clear understanding of what's going to happen when mom and dad passes.
You know, it's interesting with family dynamics. A lot of things you're talking about right here, sometimes people are very hesitant in the family to bring it up. In other words, you know, you have a second marriage and, you know, maybe there's a prenuptial in place, okay? Mm-hmm. But it kind of almost doesn't apply. I mean, it applies, but, you know, the husband has other intentions, but nobody talks about it. So what happens there? You know,
or actually people have a misconception. One of my clients, he inherited four homes that are rental properties from his parents. Mm-hmm. And when he divorced, his wife of almost 35 years was not entitled to any of that.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that people have misconceptions and they get all upset about it, but that's the reality of the situation.
You know what I love about you and your firm, Steve, is that you have people have the opportunity to come in and discuss some of these issues that maybe they don't want to talk to their spouse until they get some information on how to talk to their spouse. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
Yes. You know what? Sometimes usually the husband and wife come in together and they want to understand how their estate is set up. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not an attorney. A lot of times I bring in an attorney, somebody like Kelly or somebody else that deals with that. And I'll have them explain, you know what? You receive these from your folks. You're not entitled to those if something were to happen. This is going to go along your bloodline because of the way that trust was set up, which means, you know what? Nothing's going to come to you if you predecease, or if he predeceases you, you're not entitled to these assets. So people need to know that when they're looking at retirement and when their spouse passes away. You know, sometimes these family things have been set up for, you know, generations. Five generations. They're not going to go into somebody's. They're never going to show up in somebody's that who marries in hands ever. And people need to understand that.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people think community property is an automatic. Obviously, from what you're saying, that's not true.
No, not true.
Wow.
Like an attorney back there shaking her head going, yeah.
I'm saying ladies and gentlemen maybe better check the paperwork and make sure you know where you stand.
It's really, a lot of people who get legal documents, they think they got it covered.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reality is they don't because things change. Or they buy into misinformation or misconceptions that, hey, I got a trust, I'm covered. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what? John Wayne bought into that. He passed away in 1979. His probate didn't end until 2001. His estate was a big estate, almost $6 million in 1979. It was only worth $1.5 in 2001 because of the attorneys, the probate, and all the junk that went along with it. And his probate file is like this big. You know, you see Judge Warren Burger, same thing. He's a Supreme Court justice. He didn't have his affairs in order.
Oh.
And it's just because you might have a specialty like a, you know, orthopedic surgeon just does knees, mm-hmm. but they don't have any idea about how to deliver a baby.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reality is that happens all the time. And it's important for people just to get educated. Sit down and have an attorney explain what it means to you if your husband passes away, if you pass away, what does it mean to the kids,
mm-hmm.
and how does it impact everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that's the biggest thing. If you understand that, you can make great decisions. It's just like Kelly talked earlier. If you understand the lifestyle of your business, you can sell it at the right time.
Yeah.
And it could be beneficial and be a wonderful retirement for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And I think people often think, like husbands and wives, if they have a joint bank account and let's say one of them passes away, is the money automatically the other's because their name's on that bank account? Or can that be a probate problem?
Could be, depending on how much in the bank account. In the state account, if it's under $150,000, it's not going to be real big of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also depending about how the checking account is titled. It could be termination on death. That means it goes to the spouse. If it's in the trust, it's automatically there for the spouse. Mm-hmm. If it's two separate individuals, then they're going to take a look at what the basis is. And one side will step up and the other side won't, depending from a tax perspective.
I see.
So there's a lot of things to look at. But in most cases, if it's under $150,000, they're not going to have too much of an issue.
So the best advice I can think of to give our listeners is, you got to talk to Steve Sexton.
These are very complicated issues.
This man knows everything.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
I mean, truly, it's every week when I talk with you, Steve, I realize it's so vast. It's so much. Even if you want to get educated, you know, you can't know it all. So I'm realizing you need people who specialize in different areas. And I know you know who they all are.
Mm-hmm.
You know the big picture. You're just a great person to know.
Well, thank you. You know, for example, when you say you should talk to Steve, you know what Steve's going to do? He's going to bring in an expert.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody. If we're talking about your business and you're in the middle of that growth phase, and we bring in somebody like Kelly, and we're talking to you together, you know, I'm going to show you how you can defer $150,000 to $200,000 by going into a defined benefit plan and putting away money that's not taxed. Kelly's going to make sure you get to the next step and have those things work together so none of your money falls through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people work together, and that's why you want to have that ensemble of experts. And in fact, you know, having a great CPA as part of that meeting will make all the difference in the world.
That's great. Well, Steve, let's tell our audience how we can get a hold of you.
Okay. You can call 800-560-2611. That's 1-800-560-2611. We'll go to sextonadvisorygroup.com. That's S-E-X-T-O-N advisorygroup.com.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Steve, and thank you all of our guests. What an amazing show we've had.
It has been wonderful.
Has it been a great, Paula?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we look forward to seeing you all next week.
We do, and I want to remind you, go to transitionradioshow.com to listen to all of our episodes, where you can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and 14 other podcasting sites on Facebook, Pinterest, and
Twitter,
iHeartRadio, and Blog Talk Radio. All righty. Take care.
See you next week.